This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. So a couple more of those five-star reviews coming in. Much appreciated. Only a handful more college football games to this week, and then one a week from Monday, the national championship. Usually on Thursdays from the D, it's me and Matt Eumanns, but there's a game on Thursday, so we're going to do it just audio only here. Matt Eumanns joining me here on the podcast at Matt Eumanns 247. Of course, you can catch Matt, myself, JVT, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on VSiN Primetime. Mr. Eumanns, all four teams with byes, adios. We've got Ohio State, Texas. We've got Notre Dame, Penn State. Favorites 8-0, straight up 7-1 ATS so far in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a lesson, actually. I think a lot of handicappers we started talking about before the Notre Dame-Georgia game was, hey, look what's happened to all these teams that have byes. And you have a long way off, and it was definitely detrimental to the Oregon Ducks, for sure, when you look at a number one seed, you got behind 34-0 in the Rose Bowl. So we have not had a lot of great games, but we did have one classic, talking about Arizona State, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we could have a much better Final Four, Tim. When you look at Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, that's kind of like a dream Final Four. You had a couple Cinderellas in the field, which needs to happen every year. But now we get to the best of the best, and really looking forward to these two games.
It'll be the Capital One Orange Bowl, the site of the first semifinal. It'll be Notre Dame. It'll be Penn State. The Irish 13-1. The Nittany Lions 13-2. It'll be on ESPN. I think it'll be on like 50 other ESPN channels as well. But if you want the main broadcast, I believe it will be Sean McDonough and Greg McElroy on the call. I personally am a big fan of that duo. I think they do a really good job. And looking forward to being there in person, Matt. I will be boots on the ground. It'll be a 24-hour excursion. Red eye from Vegas down to Fort Lauderdale after our show on Wednesday night. And then I'll be back on Friday morning here in Las Vegas. So hopefully it'll be much better than my last visit to Hard Rock Stadium. I don't remember what it was called at the time, but that was 12 years ago when Alabama absolutely obliterated the Irish 42-14, led 28-0 at the half. Penn State, of course, beating Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. They do have a slight rest advantage over the Irish, 9 days as opposed to a week. Notre Dame right now, 2.5-point favorite. Total opened 47.5, went down to 45. There was even a 44.5 out there. At time of record here on Tuesday morning, Matt, it looks like we're back to 45, even some 45.5s out there. So let's jump into it. Your initial thoughts on this matchup, Penn State and Notre Dame.
I did not get the best number on the total like you at 47.5. I wish I had, because we talked about it that night and should have pulled the trigger right away. And the more I look at this game, the more I like the under. And might play a little bit of 45.5. Obviously, I've got Notre Dame. I've got two bets, 12-1 and 10-1 to win the college football playoff. And that's got to be my bet on this game. I'm thrilled that the Irish are halfway there and got past Georgia last week. But Notre Dame's got to be a lot better offensively if the Irish are going to advance. 244 total yards against Georgia. Not going to get it done. Riley Leonard, 90 yards passing, 80 yards rushing. I've called him the poor man's Josh Allen several times, and he's going to have to play more like Josh Allen if the Irish are going to beat Penn State. And I'm not saying that Penn State's necessarily a powerhouse with James Franklin standing over there on the sideline, but look at some of the playmakers on that Nittany Lions offense. Drew Allers, improving quarterback. Tyler Warren is one of the best tight ends in the country. And then you got an outstanding running back duo and Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. Well, the Notre Dame defense allows a little less than 14 points per game and is not going to give up a lot to Penn State here. But I think it's going to be more of a challenge than it was against Georgia. The Bulldogs couldn't really get anything going offensively. I think Penn State's going to get something going offensively. in this game. You know, if you think about Indiana, Hoosiers had 3 points late in the game. Georgia held to 10. I think Penn State's going to outdo that here, Tim, where it's going to be something like a 2017 or 23-20 type of game. But the big concern on Notre Dame's offense right now is Jeremiah Love, and what's he going to be able to do? You've got a nice prop bet in your pocket on Love under rushing yards. He's going to be limited. Like you said, he might be a decoy more than anything in this game. That's an NFL running back who's going to be hobbled, and that's a setback for the Notre Dame offense. So I'm a bit concerned here, and I'll tell you how I'm going to play it from a Notre Dame perspective. With that future in pocket, I'm hoping the Irish can grind out a win, but I just cannot picture this team winning by much of a margin, Tim. The Georgia game was all about the place kicker and the special teams with a kickoff return for a touchdown to open the second half, and the defense. Offense is going to have to do more. I don't think this offense is going to do a lot more against Penn State. So I'm actually probably going to play Penn State on a teaser where I push it up to +8.5 and hoping Notre Dame can win the game somewhere in that window where I can keep the Notre Dame future alive. But Penn State +8.5 feels like a good play for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on it. I know, you know, we talk about college teasers, the unpredictable nature, but it feels like, you know, there's so many cliches, played in a phone booth, rock fight. It feels like a lot of these, this game is all of those cliches, right? And there was some really good, you know, analysis out there regarding Notre Dame's offensive line, which isn't necessarily the best offensive line in the country. But Landon Tengwell, who played O-line at Penn State, I thought did an awesome breakdown of the Notre Dame offensive line, just how fundamentally sound they are. But felt like maybe they can be had a little bit. You alluded to the Abdul Carter injury. Sounds like he's going to play and I think be relatively effective. You know, we had a chat with Notre Dame beat reporter Pete Sampson on Monday night on VSiN Primetime, and I thought his point was well put, which was Abdul Carter, in his eyes, from the people he's talked to, will certainly be more effective than Jeremiah Love. And we also played the video, and there's videos out there on social media of Jeremiah Love at practice over the weekend. Big, bulky knee brace, as opposed to Matt, when he was preparing for the Indiana game, he had a sleeve on his knee. And in that game, he ultimately had the, you know, explosive 98-yard touchdown run early on in that contest against the Hoosiers. So it seems like if Jeremiah Love does play, it'll be very ineffective, maybe as you alluded to, and as I mentioned, maybe a little bit of a decoy. But, you know, the question I have for Notre Dame's defense is, obviously, you look at Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. Can they bottle them up? I think those two backs will have more success than ETN did. I thought ETN, Notre Dame, did a phenomenal job of slowing him down, making him basically irrelevant in the game, forcing the first fumble of his collegiate career, lost fumble of his collegiate career. But to me, Matt, Tyler Warren is so intriguing because Notre Dame has an All-American safety in Xavier Watts. Do they put Xavier Watts on him? Do they put Adon Shuler on him? Do they put Rod Hurd, the Northwestern transfer, on him? Do they do a little bit of, you know, differentiating to get at Tyler Warren? Because, you know, this guy, whether he shouldn't have won the Mackey Award for nation's top tight end, I would have voted for Harold Fannin, but that's beside the point. This dude's a baller, 98 catches, over 1,100 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. He'll run the ball a little bit. By the way, his anytime touchdown market is around even money at DraftKings. I think one of the big X factors for Al Golden's defense here, and talk about a great coordinator matchup, Andy Koltynecki from Penn State, the OC, versus Al Golden, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator. I'm so fascinated to see what the Irish do with Tyler Warren, because we saw in the red zone against Boise State, you know, Drew Aller is going to target number 44.
You have to defend him like you would Travis Kelce or Brock Bowers, and kind of bracket him. You can't leave him alone over the middle of the field like the Steelers did with Travis Kelce in that game a couple of weeks ago, which is ridiculous, and you see it happen so many times. I think Tyler Warren finished with only 6 catches against Boise, right?
6 or 63, yep.
Yeah, I thought he was underused by Penn State's offensive game plan. And Andy Koltunecki did not call his best game there. You and I have talked about this. You said he tried to get too cute, and that's true. I felt like if Penn State just lined up and ran the ball right at the Boise defense, they were going to have no problems winning that game. And they found a way to screw it up, and then the Nittany Lions found themselves in a situation in the fourth quarter where they needed a bailout by the officials to make sure they could win the game. If not for that hands-to-the-face penalty on Boise State's touchdown that made it a three-point game in the fourth quarter, the spread winner would have been different, and the game would have looked a lot closer. That was a huge penalty. I don't know how Penn State screwed up the game. When you watch the first 15 minutes, Penn State up 14-0 and driving, there's no way that game really should have been close. And that's why I don't trust the Penn State coaching staff. You know, and that's why I think gives you a little bit more hope that Notre Dame's going to find a way to grind this one out and advance to the championship game. But this offense has potential with Tyler Warren and those two stud running backs and Drew Aller, who's
it's the best quarterback Notre Dame has faced this year. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a challenge. That's why I say I don't think I've recommended a college football teaser the entire season. But this kind of feels like an NFL playoff game with a low total where if you tease up through all the key numbers to 8.5, you're getting value on Penn State on a teaser. So I would tease it with Ohio State, too. I think Ohio State wins and advances. So I'm probably going to play it that way and hope that, like I said, Notre Dame wins by less than 8, which I think is the most likely outcome of this game.
Notre Dame turnover margin this year has been tremendous. They forced 31 turnovers. The only game they did not win the turnover margin, Northern Illinois, and they lost that game. They were plus 2 against Georgia and obviously won that game. Notre Dame, believe it or not, has covered 10 straight games heading into this contest against Penn State. And we were on air, and Chris the Bear Felica gave us this great nugget. Penn State, as an underdog, they have lost 16 of their last 18 games. Their two wins coming against Wisconsin at Camp Randall. So I can't wait to watch this game. I think it's a really intriguing matchup. Health is obviously going to play a massive factor. We talked about the loss of Riley Mills for Notre Dame heading into the Georgia game. They had some really key components step up. RJ Oben, the transfer from Duke, who, I'll be honest, had looked like he would be a bust in the transfer portal from, as I mentioned, from Duke. He gets the big sack before the end of the half. Junior Tuliala Maka was a third stringer all year long. He's been playing with his hair on fire. So they've had some guys step up. They lose Benjamin Morrison, All-American corner. Leonard Moore steps in and really hasn't skipped a beat. So can't wait to see this game, how it plays out. I think Notre Dame's going to rely on man-to-man coverage at the cornerback position. Christian Gray, a guy that you and I, Matt, saw get picked on at the USC game quite a bit until he had that pick six late in the contest. Remember, he was the covering corner on Georgia's explosive play in the first quarter that was brought back 15 yards because of the walk-on there on the sideline. So, I can't wait to watch this game. I do believe Drew Aller is the best quarterback that Notre Dame has faced this year. I thought this was funny. I texted a buddy of mine who's a Penn State alum and as a radio host in Pennsylvania, and I was curious what he would say about the game. And he said, my pick is Penn State's defense keeps them in the game. Drew Aller gets banged up. Irish win 23-6. And I said, all right, well, wow. Are you like me? Are you just a pessimistic fan? Because as you have pointed out, fairly, I tend to be more on the pessimistic side, maybe not as pessimistic as our friend Brad Powers, but he called himself the voice of reason. So take for what you will. I don't think it'll be 23-6. I think it's going to be a very close game. I don't have a pick on the side one way or the other. I just think it's low scoring, and I think Notre Dame needs to figure out how to get the offense going, as you pointed out, whether it's getting Faison out in space, which they tried to do against Georgia at 4 catches for over 40 yards, whether it's relying on the run game, whether it's Riley Leonard, you know, going 14, 15 times on the ground. Mike Denbrock's going to have to get pretty creative here, but I would be surprised if this is a blowout, Matt, one way or the other, outside of just crazy turnovers. And I would be surprised. That's why I bet it if this game is high scoring. I think it's low scoring. I think it's a grind. And I truly think it's a coin toss between Notre Dame and Penn State.
Yeah, last word on this game is Faison had a 14-yard catch against Georgia. And when you watch that, you're like, wow, that's an explosive play. That's the bottom line. Notre Dame's pass offense is not creating big plays. And against Penn State, 3.8 yards per pass, 24 attempts, 90 yards. You got to do better than that in the passing game. And Notre Dame's capable. You know, it was 4.2 yards per carry on the ground. But that was with Jeremiah Love being a non-factor. So how much of a factor is he going to be in this game? I'll tell you, I'll take the over 6 points for Penn State if your friend wants to.
Book your action?
Yeah.
I would take it too. I think I would put that, as Randy McKay told us last night prior to the FCS National Championship, he was on North Dakota State for size, I believe was his way he prefaced it. I think you and I would take a over six team total on Penn State for size. I think they'll have some success in this game scoring some points.
That'd be a large bet.
Yeah.
I think 20-17 is a realistic game. That would make you very happy if the Irish can escape 20-17. You'll jump back on that flight back to Vegas on Friday and be a happy man if that happens.
I might run back from Miami all the way to Vegas if they're headed to the national championship. No, I won't do that. Who will the winner of the Orange Bowl play? We'll discuss the Cotton Bowl after a quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It doesn't cost you anything. Completely free wherever you get your podcasts. So much appreciated as always. We broke down the games with Adam Burke on Monday, doing it right now with Matt Eumanns, and scheduled to chat Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds on Wednesday. So all of us giving our perspective on these two semifinals. Let's jump into the Cotton Bowl. And I don't know what your number would have been prior to the start of the playoffs, but I've heard a number of people say that it probably would be Ohio State pick, Ohio State won, somewhere in that ballpark prior to the start of the college football playoff. But the Buckeyes have gone out, won 42-17 over Tennessee in the first round, absolutely obliterated Oregon, led 34-0 in the first half, won that game 41-21. Buckeyes now out to a 6-point favorite, at one point hit 6.5, and now it's kind of settled in at 6. We'll see if we start to see a little bit more public money move this closer to 7 as we get close to kickoff at AT&T Stadium down in Arlington, Texas. Texas, on the other hand, Matt, they beat and cover against Clemson, but it was a workmanlike effort there as a 12-point favorite. They win by 2 touchdowns and then needed double overtime and held on for dear life. Had a fourth down conversion in overtime for Quinn Ewers there. So Texas didn't look pretty. And let's be honest, I think you've been on top of it most of the year. This team has seemed to be a bit overrated in the market. Is this a buy low spot on Texas, or do you think Ohio State is getting into their 2019 LSU phase where they're just going to be pulverizing everyone in their path?
Yep, 2019 LSU never got held to 10 points by Michigan, but you're right. In the last couple
that is
games,
correct.
Ohio State's offense has kind of looked like that Joe Burrow offense from 2019, even though I hesitate to make that comparison because I actually think that's the greatest season any college quarterback has ever had. I believe Joe Burrow finished that year with 60 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions, right? In a 15-0 season.
Yeah, it's the most outrageous statistical year ever.
And by the way, Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator, right?
He was.
For LSU at the time. I think Joe Brady's going to get a head coaching job, maybe with the Saints.
My ginger brother.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. But Joe Brady's going to be a guy I think is going to be popular in some of these interviews anyway. So what was it that Ryan Day said about Lou Holtz? Ohio State's tough.
We're Ohio tough.
Yeah.
We've always been Ohio tough. It's us against the world.
As the black beard.
Maybe we could get I'm a call out producer Ryan Hunter right now. I'm going to send you a clip. Maybe we can insert the old we're Ohio tough right there.
What can you say about the performance from your quarterback, Kyle McCord, to finish that drive?
Toughness. Toughness. That's it. Physicality, across the board, finish it off, having guts. You know, like, I like to know where Lou Holtz is right now. What he said about our team, I cannot believe. This is a tough team right here. We're proud to be from Ohio, and it's always been Ohio against the world, and it'll continue to be Ohio against the world. But I'll tell you what, I love those kids, and we got a tough team.
I felt like Ryan Day and Chip Kelly got caught up in that narrative, if you want to call it that, a little bit in the Michigan game, where they wanted to play caveman football. We're tougher than you. We're going to run it right at you and beat you. Well, you played right into Michigan's hands by running the ball 20 times up the middle, and it didn't work. Ohio State's offense is back to what it should be, and sometimes, you know, a really bad loss can set a team on the right path, and that was true with Notre Dame after losing to Northern Illinois, and I think it's true with Ohio State after losing to Michigan. And that was a really bad loss because two of Michigan's best players were out that day. And you lose at home 13-10 as a 3-touchdown favorite. That's a bad loss. And but the Ohio State's offense now is back to what it should be. You get the ball to your playmakers in space. Jeremiah Smith, Amika Egbuka on the outside, and then Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins any way you can do it. Will Howard has played like a more confident quarterback. Much more confident quarterback in the last two games as well. Ohio State outgained Tennessee 473 to 256. Outgained Oregon 500 to 276. But, Tim, that was a lot more lopsided. Buckeyes obviously up 34-0 in the second quarter and really put on the brakes in the second half. Only scored 7 points in the second half. And it felt like they could have rolled up 800 yards and 80 points if they wanted to at one point in that game. But the point is, Ohio State's not going to be dumb about its game plan with what Chip Kelly and Ryan Day are going to put together. Now they know their identity is getting the ball to the playmakers out in space and not trying to be dumb and running up the middle all the time. So I think they've learned from that mistake, and Ohio State's going to be tough to stop. Just too many playmakers. And you're right, I've bet against Texas many times this season. And won more often than not. And in fact, with a lot of success, because I felt like Quinn Ewers is an overrated quarterback. He'll make a good throw every now and then where you say, wow, you know, he's got some talent. There it is. But in general, you leave most games feeling underwhelmed about Quinn Ewers' performance. You know, he didn't play great against Arizona State, but he did make that fourth down throw. What was a fourth and 14 or something? That touchdown throw that was about as good as it gets. I don't think he's got as many playmakers. And, Tim, look at the numbers on Texas running the ball against Clemson and against Arizona State. It is ugly.
It's not existent against Arizona State, man. They couldn't do it. Contravion Wisner, 18 for 45, 2.5 yards per carry, and Jaden Blue, 4 for 4.
I know, the Longhorns' running attack's been non-existent. And, hey, this Ohio State offense just held, like I said, Tennessee and Oregon to about, you know, 265 yards per game, and the Ohio State D is legit. So I don't think Texas has got enough playmakers here to trade shots with Ohio State. And, you know, Quinn Ewers can trade some shots, but he's not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Will Howard in this explosive offense, I don't think, for four quarters, because Ewers can't carry the offense on his back. He's not that great. He just doesn't have enough guys around him to do it. And, hey, the Texas defense was kind of pushed around by Clemson and by Arizona State, you know, and that was I think Clemson rolled up 412 total yards and Cade Klubnik passed for around 350. And then Arizona State, after falling behind, Cam Scatabo was unstoppable. And Arizona State's offense was pretty impressive for long stretches in that second half. So I know I'm not blown away by this Texas team, never have been. And I would be stunned if Texas wins this game, Tim. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not going to be a close game and it's going to be a runaway because I think the Longhorns can hang around. But I bet Ohio State a couple nights ago, minus 230 on the money line. And I'm probably going to play that teaser, too, where I knocked the Buckeyes down to pick and Penn State up to plus 8.5. if you wanted to make a case for laying the 5.5 or 6 with Ohio State, I'm not going to argue with that either. I like the favorite here. I don't say that a lot, but I do like the favorite in this game.
So Adam Burke pointed this out, and because we're in the college football playoff semifinals, there's more opportunities out there to bet. And I know there are a handful of states, Matt, that don't let you play player props. We, unfortunately, in Nevada don't have access to DraftKings. But I did want to point this out. If you are in a state that allows you to bet player props on DraftKings, you know, we've seen the number for Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame running back, drop significantly, right? I think FanDuel last check was like 37.5. Everything that we've heard, that we've seen, Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame is not going to be ultra effective. Well, how about these prices, Matt, in matchups? So if you go to the college football tab and player specials, hit head-to-head rush props, Quinshon Judkins of Ohio State to have more rushing yards than Jeremiah Love, minus 115.
Okay.
Travion Henderson to have more rushing yards than Jeremiah Love, minus 110. Katron Allen to have more rushing yards than Jeremiah Love, minus 120. You're not talking about a ton of juice there for guys that are fully healthy heading into these contests. And Travion Henderson against Oregon, 8 carries, 94 yards. Quinshon Judkins against Oregon, 17 carries, 85 yards. Katron Allen's going to have success to an extent against the Irish rushing defense. But if you just want to look at Henderson and Judkins at those cheap prices, and if this is a game kind of like how you anticipate it to happen, remember, Ohio State, if they're up like they were against Oregon, Matt, they've got another game to play. They're going to want to run the ball. They're going to want to get out of there healthy. And I could see, especially if this is a, let's say, double-digit game in the second half, they could rely on Henderson and Judkins. And also, lastly, point on this is, what did we see in the Peach Bowl? We saw a Texas defense gassed and Cam Scataboo rushing for over 100 yards in that contest. So, you know, always look around. You know, if you feel like you've missed a good number on Jeremiah Love from a rushing number, that's fine. If you have access to these player prop matchups, you're laying minus 105 on Quinshon Judkins and minus 110 on Travion Henderson. So, or minus 115 on Judkins, minus 110 on Henderson. Not a bad way to look at it. And you're paying regular juice for a matchup against the guy that, from everything we've heard, probably is going to be more than likely a decoy on Thursday night for the Irish.
Actually, those are a lot of good props you pointed out there. You better get those, you better bet those and get those up on the VSIN Pro page. That does sounds like a few winners there. I like those. Yeah,
we will see. But all right, that's going to do it for the podcast. As always, check out. Yeah, what do you got?
Last word here is if Notre Dame and Ohio State advance, that's going to set up the Brad Powers Bowl. And I'm going to predict that he I'm going to say he picks Ohio State to beat the Irish in the Brad Powers Bowl.
I'm going to predict that as well. And I think if I know Brad, he's going to be very happy if Notre Dame wins that game, but he will be financially invested in Ohio State. But we'll talk to him Wednesday on VSiN Primetime, and I would imagine that is a game that he is hoping that doesn't come to fruition, because Brad is from the state of Ohio. All of his, I believe, family and friends are Ohio State fans, but he grew up a Notre Dame fan.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think that'd be great. Unlike the last time when the Irish got there and you said they were down, I remember it well, they were down 28-0 to Nick Saban in Alabama at the half. I think this would be a much better championship game, and maybe the Irish can break through, kind of like the Los Angeles Dodgers had the last couple years. Dodgers had not won a World Series since 1988 until they won that one in the bubble in 2020, and again this year. 1988, the last time Notre Dame football also won it, Tim. How old were you in 88?
When they won the title in January of 89, beating West Virginia in the Fiesta Bowl, I was 15 months old.
So you remember it well.
Yes. I do. Yep. I was there, Matt. I was running on the field with Lou Holtz. No, I'll say this. Notre Dame's win over Georgia is, I think, the biggest win they've had almost without argument since they beat Florida State in 1993. And I do have small little memories of the Irish beating Florida State. I was a first grader, Matt, when the Irish in the game of the century beat Bobby Bowden's Florida State squad. And of course, the following week, Tom Coughlin and Boston College went to Notre Dame Stadium and beat the Irish 41-39.
You know, I wouldn't doubt if Brent Musburger was on the call for that Notre Dame Florida State game. He might have been.
I believe it was an NBC game. I think it was okay. Tom Hammond. But I do know that Brent was on the call of the Catholics versus Convicts game in 1988.
Yeah. He was.
And he was on the call of Notre Dame Alabama, of course, in January of 2013 when he was calling with Kirk Herbstreit. And I looked over to my left and I saw Alabama. And I think it was it Eddie Lacy who was their starting running back that year? And I just said, Matt, this is going to be a long day.
It really wasn't. It really wasn't that long because it was over pretty early.
And that's true. It's a fair way to look at it. That's actually a really good point. All right, Matt, I will talk to you later tonight on VSiN Primetime. That is Matt Eumanns. You could follow him on social media at MattEumanns247. Get all his picks, VSiN.com/picks, as we are having a special right now, $59 off a full year subscription. Make sure you use the promo code PRIME. That's the show that Matt, myself, JBT, are a part of. $59 to get all that we have to offer for a full year. So use that promo code PRIME. For Matt, I'm Tim. Thanks to producer Ryan. We'll be back tomorrow with another breakdown of these semifinal games with Wes Reynolds. Please rate, review, and subscribe. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.